So in the last lecture, I had given you the introduction about income tax. In the last lecture, we saw as to what is income, what is tax, and what is act. Now, today we are going to go ahead with the important definitions which are covered under Income Tax Act. Why these definitions are required? If you will see any act, first thing would be the definition, meaning thereby that this particular word under this act will be construed in this manner, will be interpreted in this manner. That is called as importance of definition. So in any act, definitions are there, but those definitions are relevant, focused, dedicated to that act. So here also, in Income Tax Act, we have got important definitions. So today, I am going to cover the most important topic about definitions. So today, we are going to deal with the important definitions under income tax. Now, the first definition of income under income tax is of income. Now, what is income? If you will see, income is defined under section 2, subsection 24. Whenever section 2 under income tax comes, you must understand that it is dedicated, it is relevant to the concept of definition. Section 2 is always concerned with definition. Section 2 shall always coin definitions. So whenever section 2 of income tax is there, it is about definition. Now, definition of income is that income includes. So what are the items, what are the receipts which can be treated as incomes in the Income Tax Act? Once these items are included as incomes, they shall be treated as income and they shall be subject to tax. Now, income includes means even the Act specifies the number of items, number of receipts as incomes. Beyond that also, the Act can construe, the Act can interpret any other receipt in the form of receipt as income, even it is not given. So the word includes means even it is beyond the Act, Income Tax Act can include many other things as incomes. So first of all, income is defined under section 2, subsection 24. This bracket is called as subsection. This is the main section. Now, income includes, first of all, income includes many other things such as income from salary. Such as income from business or profession, such as income from capital gains, such as income from house property, and such as income from other sources. So these are the incomes which are included directly or indirectly under the definition of income. Directly, it is not given that income includes income from salary. If you will see the Act, you will understand that yes, salary or perquisites are also the part of income which is defined under section 2, subsection 24. So income includes so many things. And these incomes shall be under income tax, be treated as incomes subject to tax. If the tax is there, the tax will be calculated on these incomes and the tax will be levied. So this is called as income. Income is defined under section 2, subsection 24 of the Income Tax Act. Now further if we go, the next definition is, now would you tell me, would you ask me that income includes so many things? What about agricultural income? Is agricultural income subject to tax? Whether income earned by the agriculturist is income subject to tax? The answer is no. Even it is income, but agricultural income shall not be included as income for purposes of levying the tax. Please understand, agricultural income is defined under section 2, subsection 1A. Again I tell you, section 2 is the important section, section 2 is the main section, section 2 talks about definition and 1A talks about subsection. Now agricultural income. Now what is agricultural income? If I have a farm or agricultural land and I cultivate the agricultural land, if I have got agricultural land and I cultivate the agricultural, on this agricultural land, I cultivate mangoes and I pluck these mangoes and sell these mangoes in the market and I earn 5 lakhs rupees, shall it be treated as income subject to tax directly? The answer is no. This income shall be exempt. So agricultural income, even though it is an income, but the same shall be subject to exemption under Income Tax Act. Therefore, my dear friends, what is agricultural income? If I have got a farm and I have given this farm for cultivation to some other person, I am not cultivating, I have got my land which is agriculture land and I have given it for cultivation to other person. Now other person is cultivating that land and giving me the rent. Now shall that rent which I receive by letting it out the farm, shall it be treated as agricultural income in my hands? The answer is yes. Even the income is arising from the rent which has been given for cultivation, that rent in my hands, that is the in the hands of the owner, shall be treated as exempt under Income Tax Act. And what about the income received by the tenant who is the cultivator, who cultivates the land and sells the crops in his hands also? That income shall be exempt to tax. So agricultural income, whether it is earned by me as a cultivator on my own land or if I give it on rent to somebody and I earn the rental income from that person, that income in my hands again shall be also shall be exempt. And in the hands of the cultivator also, that income shall be exempt from the act. Are you understanding, my dear friends? Now, what about the fish farming? Can fish farming be treated as agricultural income? It is farming, no doubt. The nomenclature, the word is fish farming. But can fish farming be treated as a part of agricultural income? The answer is no. Fish farming shall be, the income derived from fish farming shall be taxable. The income derived from, what do you call it, dairy farming shall be, shall be taxable and shall not be exempt. What about bamboo trees? The income derived from bamboo trees is income from agricultural land. And once it is agricultural income, it shall be exempt. But mind it well, the agricultural land should be within India. If the land, agricultural land is outside India, then that income shall be taxable. But if I earn agricultural income from cultivation of crops, from vegetables, from fruits, then that income shall be exempt, provided the land is within India. Is that clear? Now, I grow tobacco. Shall this tobacco income be exempt? The answer is yes. Tobacco is also an agricultural product. That's why the tobacco income shall also be exempt under Income Tax Act. So, the income from tobacco, the income from vegetables, the income from potato, the income from grapes, the income from fruits, the income from sale of bamboo trees shall be exempt. The income from cultivation of flowers, roses shall be exempt. If I grow roses, it shall be exempt. And if I got a nursery, you know what is nursery? I do a small business where I grow plants and I sell the plants. Shall that income from nursery be exempt to tax? The answer is yes. Income from nursery shall also be exempt to tax. And the act has been amended, which says that nursery farming shall also be treated as agricultural income. Once it is agricultural income, it shall be exempt. Now the question arises. I have given my agricultural land for shooting purposes to the film industry. They use this land, which is agricultural land, for shooting purposes, and they give me 2 lakhs rupees rent for using this agricultural land for film shooting. Now, shall this income be exempt in my hands, which I received? The answer is no. If the agricultural land is used for film shooting, then that income shall not be exempt from tax. So this is how you have to understand the concept of agricultural income. Is it clear? Now let's move further. Once we understood agricultural income, now let us move to the new definition, and that is called as, what is the meaning of person? In income tax, what is the meaning of person? Who is a person? Now in income tax, the word is person. Person is defined under section 2, subsection 31. Person is defined under section 2, subsection 31. Now, who is a person? Person means an individual. Who is an individual? Individual may be a male person, a female person, a major person, a minor person, a major person, a minor person, or an idiot person. Any individual who is a living human being may be a male, may be a female, may be a major, may be a minor, shall be treated as a person. Meaning thereby, if the individual is, that is, individual is recognized as an entity, recognized as an entity which is capable of earning the income. So, can we say person means an entity which is capable of earning income? Any person. So, individual is a person. Second is, a firm, or say HUF, Hindu Undivided Family, is also a person. What is Hindu Undivided Family? Hindu Undivided Family means an entity which does the business with the family, and the karta of the family is the head of the family, is called as karta of the family. Every member of the family is called as, every person of the family is called as member of the family, may the member be a male, may be a female. HUF is also an entity. Again, I'll tell you, HUF is nothing but a conglomeration or aggregation of all the members of the family, which is governed, which is managed by the senior most male member of the family, and that senior most male member of the family is called as karta of the family, that is the manager of the family, who does the activities on behalf of the family, and the income is distributed to the members of the family. But this HUF is also recognized as a person under income tax, meaning thereby even the HUF is capable of earning the income. Is that clear? Now, third is a company. What do you mean by company? Company is an entity which is created under the law. Company is not visible. Company is a legal entity which is managed through its board of directors and which has got perpetual succession. Perpetual succession means even if all the shareholders of the company, even if all the directors of the company die, then also the company shall run, and this is called as company. So company means an artificial person having the common seal and perpetual succession, but the liability of the company shall be limited to the extent of shares subscribed by the shareholders. So this is also an entity. This is also an entity. So such as, say, Infosys, say, TCS, say, Tata Power, say, Tata Chemicals, say, Siemens, say, Hindustan Unilever. What about State Bank of India? Yes, State Bank of India shall also be treated as a company. Please understand. So a company is also an entity which is capable of earning the income. Next point. Firm. What do you mean by firm? Firm means a partnership firm. So we should write a partnership firm. Now, what do you mean by a partnership firm? Partnership firm means an entity where two or more persons come together. An entity where two or more persons come together under the formal agreement, and the firm does the business. This is called as partnership firm, where partners come together and they do the business. So the partnership firm is also an entity in the eyes of income tax under section 2, subsection 31 of the Income Tax Act. Now, next is association of persons or body of individual, AOP or BOI. What is association of persons? Association, togetherness. Many persons come together and do the business. That is called as association of persons. What is the difference between a company and a firm and an AOP? A company, once it is formed, cannot be dissolved unless and until the court gives the direction. But a firm is, once it is floated, cannot be dissolved unless all the partners of the firm decide to dissolve it. But AOP is nothing but a joint venture. A joint venture which has been, where two or more persons come together to do the business, to do a particular venture, to do a limited business, to do a limited or particular business for a limited purpose. Once the business is over, the profits are shared and they go away. They do not recognize anybody later on. That is called as association of persons. So suppose Infosys with Mr. X and Mr. X HUF can come together. Infosys with Mr. X, who is an individual, and Mr. X in X's HUF can come together and do the business of a construction or construction of a bridge. Then that association of persons, after the bridge is constructed, the profits will be shared between three persons, that is Infosys, Mr. X and his HUF. Once the bridge is over, then they will, you know, part. That is called as association of persons for a limited period, for a limited business, for a particular business. Once the business is over, the profits are shared, then the persons go away. That is called as association of persons. Now, what is body of individual? Body, body means group, collection, many persons, plurality of the persons. So, if many persons come together, many persons, now here, instead of persons, I'm writing the word individuals. That means only individuals, when they group together, that is called as body of individual. So suppose Mr. A, Mr. B, Mrs. C, Mr. D, Mr. E, they come together and do the business. That will be called as body of individual, meaning thereby only individuals do the business in joint venture. That is called as body of individuals. So association of persons, any person can be there. Maybe a company can join hands with a partnership firm with HUF. But here, only individuals will do the business. But both the cases, they are nothing but joint ventures. Now, next is, what do you call it, local authority. What is local authority? A municipality. Say Mumbai municipality, Thane municipality, Nashik municipality, Jalgaon municipality, they are also treated as persons under Income Tax Act. So these municipalities, if they earn a particular income, not all incomes are taxable, if a particular income is earned and profit is made, that is also treated as a person in the eyes of income tax. So municipality is also a person. It can be a cantonment board. What do you mean by cantonment board? Cantonment board means the area which is governed, which is controlled, which is administered, which is looked upon by the military persons. That is called as cantonment board. So municipality is a local authority and is a person in the eyes of income tax. Is that clear, dear friends? Now, next is artificial juridical person. Artificial. Artificial means what? The person which is not natural. So, not natural means artificial, not real. Juridical means in the eyes of law. That unreal person shall also be treated as a person under section 2, subsection 31, meaning thereby that artificial person shall also be subject to tax if the income is earned. That is called as artificial juridical person. So, a university or say Akali Gurudwara or say Balaji Temple, these are artificial juridical persons and shall be liable to pay the tax in case the income is earned. This is how we have to understand the concept of persons. So, we have understood the meaning of person. This person is just to tell you that income tax recognizes only these entities, such as individual, such as HUF, such as partnership firm, such as company, such as AOP, such as BOI, such as artificial person, such as local authorities, as entities. That means, if a person is dead, then that dead person is not an individual. Of course, his income shall be liable to be taxed till his death. But that person will not come and pay the tax. So the dead person cannot be treated as a person. His income will be liable to be taxed in the hands of his legal heirs. But dead person is not a person. Similarly, an animal. The animal is not a person. Of course, it is living, but it cannot be treated as a person. So, if the animal, by performing some circus or some advertisements, earns the income, that income shall be taxed, not in the hands of that animal, because that animal is not a person. Then in whose hands it will be taxed? It shall be taxed in the hands of its owner or the circus owner. Like this, please understand, the person is relevant to tell you that only these entities, only seven entities are persons recognized under Income Tax Act. Now, let me explain you the meaning of assessee. What is the difference between assessee and a person? First of all, assessee is defined under Section 2, Subsection 7 of the Income Tax Act. Now, who is an assessee? Assessee is a person. That means, assessee is from one of the seven categories of persons. So, assessee is a person who is liable to pay, tax on his income. So, assessee is one of the persons. Assessee is from the list of the persons, from the categories of the persons who is liable to pay the tax. Now, suppose a person whose income is only, say, 50,000 rupees, an individual whose income is only 50,000 rupees in a year. That person, of course, is an individual, but he cannot be treated as an assessee because he is not liable to pay any tax because the income is below threshold limits. So, assessee is a person. He must be from the categories of the persons who is liable to pay the tax. If the tax is not liable to be paid, then that person remains simply a person. He cannot become an assessee. So, can we say that assessee means a person? Can we say that every person is not an assessee? Please understand very important sentence. Any person, every assessee is a person, but every person need not be an assessee. Every assessee is from the seven categories of persons, but every person cannot be treated an assessee because every person is not liable to pay the tax. In India, around that there's a population of 125 crores. Out of this, around 4 crores are assessees. Remaining persons are only persons. So, every person is not an assessee, but every assessee has to be a person. A dead man is not a person. He cannot become an assessee, but his legal representative shall be liable to pay the tax. So, can we say assessee is a person who is liable to pay tax on his income or income of other persons? Now, suppose Mr. A is working and he made a profit of rupees 5 lakhs and he is dead. Who will pay the tax? His legal heirs would be liable to pay the tax in respect of the income earned by Mr. X. On his income, his legal heirs will pay the tax. So who will become the assessee? His legal heirs will become the assessee, because that dead person is not a person at all. So assessee means who is liable to pay the tax on his income as well as the income of other persons in the capacity of a legal heir, in the capacity of an executor. So these are the persons defined under section 2, subsection 7 of the Income Tax Act. Third, I have not earned any income. My income is less than, say, 1,50,000 rupees, 1,60,000 rupees. Now it is 2 lakhs rupees after DTC, introduction, agar ho gaya to. But suppose my income is less than 3 lakhs, less than 1,80,000 rupees. Suppose my income is only 1 lakh rupees, I am not liable to pay any tax. So, I am not a assessee, but I am still a person. And secondly, now, here, a company is there. A company makes a loss. If a company makes a loss, the company has not to pay any tax. I told you that assessee is a person who is liable to pay the tax. A company who has made simply loss in a previous year, can it still be treated as an assessee? The answer is yes. Even if the company has made loss, that company shall be treated as an assessee. So please understand the difference between assessee and a person. Assessee is a person, is one of the seven categories of persons who is liable to pay the tax only when he has income above the level. But any person cannot be treated as an assessee, but assessee must be from one of the persons. Is that clear? So this is how we have to understand. Now, I have to tell you more about what is previous year or financial year. There is a concept of previous year. Previous year means the period which ends on 31st of March. The period must end on 31st of March. So, previous is a period which ends on 31st of March. Now, suppose I join a company on 1-4-2011. I join a company on 1-4-2011. I do a business on 1st April 2011, then what shall be my previous year? My previous year shall start from 1-4-2011 and it shall end on 31st of March. So when I started my business on April 2011, when the previous year will end, when 1 year will end? 1 year will end on 31st of March 2012. So, previous year is a period in which the income is earned, and previous year always must for every assessee must end on 31st of March, 31st of March, 31st of March, and previous year is defined under section 3 of the Income Tax Act. Section 3 defines what do you mean by a previous year. Can we simply say that the previous year is nothing but the period in which the income is earned. Previous series is nothing but the income is generated. This is how we call it as a previous year. So simply, previous year means a period which always ends on 31st of March. And suppose I start my business on 1st of June 2011. When my previous year will end? My previous year will end in 31st of March 2012. Suppose I start my business on 1st December 2011. Still, my previous year will end on 31st March 2012. Suppose I start my business on 1st March 2012. Still, my previous year will end on 31st March 2012. So, in every case, previous year must end on 31st of March, 31st of March, 31st of March. Previous year ends on 31st of March. This is called as the previous year. So, previous year is in the period in which income is generated, income is created, income is accrued, income is received. Can we say that the previous year is nothing but income year? Yes or no? This is how we have to go ahead. So, previous year is like this. This previous year is also called as financial year. It is also called as accounting year. So, previous year, accounting year, financial years, they are one and the same. There is no difference. So, in income tax, previous year, accounting year, financial year are the periods in which any person earns the income, and if the income in the previous year is above taxable limit, the person will convert into assessee and pay the tax in respect of the income of the previous year. Are you understanding? Let us take an example. Take an example, that is Mr. X. He has joined a company on 1/4/2012. Now, his monthly salary is rupees, say, 10,000 per month. Now, when his previous year will end? His previous year will end on March 31st. Which March 31st? Whether March 12, whether March 11, or whether March 13? His previous year will end on 31st March 13. Is that clear? Now, his income is 10,000 per month. Now, this is 12 months period from April to March. Now, what is his total income? 10,000 per month into 12. 1,20,000. Now, this person is an individual. So, if the income of this person here, the income of this person is below threshold limits, below statutory limits, below taxable limits. Now, he is simply a person. He does not become an assessee. Now, let us understand. Suppose his income is rupees 50,000 per month. Now, 50,000 per month into 12, this is 6 lakhs rupees per annum. Now, this 6 lakhs rupees represent the income of the previous year. Which previous year? 2012, that is 1st April 2012 to 31/3/2013. Now, shall he be able to pay the tax on this 6 lakhs rupees on 31/3/2013 itself at the end of the previous year? The answer is no. He will take some time to calculate his income, to calculate his tax. Now we understand the concept of assessment year. Let us understand what is assessment year. Now he will pay the tax on this income. Why? Because his income is above taxable limits. Now he will calculate the tax in respect of the income. Now the tax will be paid on 6 lakhs rupees for the income earned in 1213. What is 1213? 1213 is a previous year. So his previous year is 2012-2013. Now assessment year, he will pay the tax in the assessment year. What is assessment year? Assessment year is a period. Assessment year is a period which starts from 1st of April. Assessment year is a period which starts from 1st of April. When this previous year ended, this previous year started from 1-4-2012 to 31-3-2013. Now assessment year will start. Assessment is a period which starts from 1st April. Now 1st April of which year? 1st April of 13. That is subsequent period, subsequent to this 13. So April will come, 1st April will come in the year 2013. So assessment year is a period which starts from 1st of April and it is a period of 12 months. Assessment year is a period of 12 months. So 12 months period from 1st of April will obviously end on 31-3-2014. So assessment year means the period in which is subsequent, which follows this period, which is after this period. Assessment is the period in which taxes are paid in respect of the income earned in the prior year. That's why that prior year is called as previous year. So previous year is a period in which income is earned, which ends on 31st of March. And assessment year is a period which starts from 1st of April. Immediately after ending of the previous year, assessment year starts. That means the taxes of this earlier year, prior year, will be paid in the subsequent period. And that subsequent period is called as assessment year. And assessment year is defined under section 2, subsection 9 of the Income Tax Act. Is that clear? The assessment year is defined under section 2, subsection 9 of the Income Tax Act.